Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, the co-host, and with me today is Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the friendly Tuesday night for Fulham against Brighton and Hove Albion. Mike was there for this match, so he is on to share what he watched in person. We have much to discuss. Before we get going, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show, Mr. Gregg. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, doing well. We're enjoying the mini heat wave we're having in England at the moment, and soon to disappear, of course. But, yeah, looking forward to talk about the game last night and many other subjects that seem to have been raised as well.
Absolutely. There are going to be subjects that are going to come up during the show. Fans have been contacting both of us about subjects they would like us to discuss, and I'll try to work them into the show because it does involve the match last night, and look forward to speaking to you about that. But before we do, I do want to mention this. My thoughts and prayers go to Yanis Shadanis, his entire family, and his father. Yanis' father had a massive stroke last night, and he had surgery earlier and has come out of surgery. He's in ICU. But again, worried about Yanis and his father, and it's basically a wait-and-see situation right now. So, Yanis, if you do listen to this, I'm thinking about you and your family, and hang in there. You need anything, you knew. No, you can reach out to me, my friend. I'm just thinking about you. Okay, just wanted to share that. I'm really concerned about our co-host and friend, and he's a dear friend, Yanis Shadanis. All right, Mike, let's now talk about the match. We have much to talk about in regards to this match, but let's just start overall. I just want to get your overall take on the match, and also want to mention that because this is something that supporters want to talk about. Ross McCormack did not feature in this match. He was actually in the stands along with Scott Malone. So share with me your overall thoughts on what you watched and also your thoughts on the fact that these two players were at the match but obviously were not part of the match.
Well, I mean, it was a lovely evening to watch a game, and there was about a good 1,000 Fulham fans there, and maybe 50 or 60 Brighton, and not a lot of them. But it was a good performance. Both sides chopped and changed second half, but it was two first team squads. We certainly looked fitter and much quicker than them, and more committed as well at times. I mean, Sidwell did a couple of his tackles, which we would expect him to do for Brighton, but overall it was, everyone at the game was enjoying it, and we never had any really scary moments in defence. It was mainly, going forward where we were best. And it was good to see the new signings plus some of the youngsters, still in that squad and acquitting themselves very well. And in the end, a 3-0 win, another clean sheet, and, pre-season is going well. So overall, there was only the only one negative, and that was Ryan's injury.
Sure.
But, hopefully that's not serious. But, everyone was leaving the ground very happy with what they saw. Still a lot of work to do, and we can talk about some of the things that need doing when we review the game a little bit later. But, you couldn't ask for anything more. But, it is only pre-season, and there's still, a couple of weeks to go before it all kicks off properly, and there's still room to improve both the way we're playing and, of course, the personnel.
Right, Mike. And let me go right back to you, because this is how I knew things were going okay. You tweeted out a picture of a corner, and we defended it, and that's how I knew things were going well.
Yeah, I mean, it was the thing was defense. There was nothing dramatic that we saw. It wasn't as if we've gone to the game where suddenly, I always remember Tig and I becoming manager and in pre-season suddenly see this team play great football. It's not like that. It's improvements. We look more solid. Players like Ream looked much more comfortable on the ball, and their positioning was better. And David are like this. He was actually winning some headers as well. So, and with the new goalkeeper coming in as well, it looks like Bettinelli's got some proper competition. He was very vocal first half. They did, a couple of times when he maybe could have done better. But, defensively, they're working hard, and it's the introduction of pace and determination as well. There seems to be a good spirit within the squad, certainly from the players who played last night.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And just want to just touch base just a little bit about this. Ross McCormack, again, in the stands, along with Scott Malone there. I've seen some stuff online. I can't verify if Scott Malone was injured, but there's been some social media talk, speculation that he was injured, and, of course, the same thing with McCormack. What do you make of the fact that they were still there? I mean, both players were there. Obviously, Malone had just signed. But what do you make of McCormack still with the team, but in the stands?
Well, actually, prior to the match, I saw a few of the rest of the fringe squad sort of walking away from the ground, so the coach must have turned up. So there was a number of players obviously not playing. And, Malone is his first game, technically, watching his team. So I'm not surprised he wasn't playing. If he has got a knock, no need to force him into it. And McCormack is the star player, and depending on what kind of injury it is, it's good that he's at the ground watching it. My understanding is he left after about 70 minutes, and depending on who you read or talk to, he was either busy enjoying himself, watching the game with his young kid, or he was being quite miserable and not liking what he watched. So who knows? But the few people who did speak to him, yes, he's got an injury. But what's obviously worrying is that the club are not really talking too much about his injury. This is the first show, actually, we've done where he hasn't been linked with a move in the last few days. But, already you can see on the forums and on Twitter and elsewhere, some fans beginning to realise, we're doing okay. We're scoring a couple of goals. It's all pre-season, admittedly.
Right.
But the new players, could we survive without McCormack? I think listeners know my view is if we get a good offer, then maybe it's time to cash in and reinvest it. I would say, looking at the way we played, we still played 4-4-2 last night, maybe with one of the strikers a bit deeper, and that would suit McCormack. But the pace of some of the players we have in the team, he's going to get left behind a little bit. He would have to be that man behind the main striker. And so I suppose the question is, who would that be? But Aluku played behind Woodrow last night, and I was quite impressed by him in that kind of sort of second striker role. And, of course, he made Sessegnon's goal with that good, really well-timed pass. So McCormack, is it good an atmosphere building up to the season with all the speculation about him? Is he injured? Isn't he injured? Is he going to leave? Is he going to stay? We're going to have to wait until the end of August to find out. I'd rather, if he's going to go, just go as soon as possible. And if not, come out and say you're going to stay and you want to be part of what's being built here. Because it's just in the background, or hovering over everything that's going on, which is a very good pre-season. And we don't want anything sort of distracting us from the case in hand.
See, Mike, I totally agree with you. It's a very interesting situation with him. And I've said this to a few people, and I was actually messaging Marty Ward, who you met at the match. Marty was great. Marty was tweeting a great deal and actually was messaging with me, filling me in on what he saw. Thank you, Marty, for all of that. And one of the things that I brought up to him, and I'll bring it up to you, if you're Ross McCormack, and you might get offers, but if you're watching a team being built, wouldn't you want to be a part of this, Mike? Because I can actually, I'm listening to it, you're there, but we've been following preseason. They're building something. Wouldn't he want to be a part of it? But again, that's the million-pound question, though, Mike.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you would hope that he does want to be part of it. He can see all these runners in the team, which is going to help him. But we know what he's like. He does move around from Championship club to Championship club if an offer comes along. So we will just have to wait and see. But I would like him to come out and make a statement of intent that he's fully happy at the club. He's injured at the moment, and he's staying whatever, or not. You know. So we just need to be focused. We need to be focused
sure.
on, as Savisa says in the video, which you're going to play in a minute. You know, he takes
yep.
it game by game. But so we've got to be focused on Newcastle. No distractions, but also it's focused on the whole season ahead. And if he isn't going to be here, let's get a striker in and build the team so that, you know, players like Aite and Oda and Callis know who they're going to be playing with.
No, very, very good point there, Mike. And I'm glad that you mentioned the video, because I saw earlier that the club posted a video with Savisa, and I'm now going to play it. I want to thank Sarah Brooks, because I asked her if I could play it during the show, and she said that I could. So I'm going to play it now. This is taken right after the match. So this is an interview by Sarah with Slavisa. And some very interesting things here, Mike. I thought it would be good, before we really break down the match, to talk about some of the things that he talks about in this video. So here's the audio version. And again, thank you, Sarah, for allowing us to play it. But here is Slavisa.
We are still in some kind of the process for know what we exactly want in next season. We made a few preparation game and today too, like last days, I can be happy what we offer in the field. But this is generally what I said before. I am happy with the players, but we all of us need to be with high level of the ambition for try building some still more competitive team.
You started preseason with five of the younger players, and they started tonight and played a part in the game this evening and have done throughout your preseason. How pleasing is that for you to be able to bring younger players through?
I'm very happy. They are working very hard, and they have ability and for learn. They are working. They are working really in great level. I like these five young players, but I want five old new players with experience. And that's it. We are in the preseason, and we made some great results in this preseason. But we are still with 0 points, and we have been enough serious and understand our moment. And I expect we're gonna arrive in new season with enough high level with enough ambition for make something more important what we made last season in Fulham. I want to be successful. I am prepared. I know what my team need in the field, and now it depends what we're gonna do in this is few weeks. What is front of us? In generally, all the coaches want to have minimum 80% of the squad in the start of the preseason. I didn't have this chance, but we are still with enough time for show what we exactly want in championship. What is front of us? It's probably one of the toughest championship last year with very important names, and let's be ready for a fight.
You talk about the important names. It doesn't come much tougher than Friday night against Newcastle United, who are tipped as being the favourites to go straight back up. Is that a good thing to get that game early in the season, or is it just game by game, as you always say?
It's just game by game. It's generally after the Newcastle game, we're gonna
tough start to the season.
All the clubs is complicated playing in championship. You're not gonna find any easy game. You know better what they know with this competition, and that it is very important for us. Be ready for Newcastle game. It's very important for us. Put our 100% of our possibility in the field. Push hard and try win the points. This is our target. Generally in the football is. At the end of the match, at the end of the day, it's more important result, and we are all of us is living with this in this situation, and we have to do everything for one three first 3 points.
The style of play is slightly different. It's with one striker rather than two strikers and pacey wing play. Is that more the Slavisa Jokanovic style that we can expect?
I am working with the team what I have in my hands. And this is it's very simple simple answer. I can share the pre-season in the minute, and I have to share the position. I try explain you at the beginning. I expect to have 80% of the team in the for start working with them. We are made some job with this group of the players, and they made fantastic work, very hard. But it's question if we are enough happy, if we want to improve still ourselves, or we believe it's enough. For my side, I believe we have to sign more people. Generally, I don't want to make some interview like I am crying about my situation, but we have to be enough adult and understand what is in which moment we are actually right now, and decide what we want. If we won't try, made important things at the end of the last season. I speak with you about next target have to be in sixth top of the championship or something like that. And let's do it, and let's push for all the side in the, around me.
We hope you have a successful trip to Portugal, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we are back, and that was an interview done last night with head coach of Fulham, Savisa Jokanović, by Sarah Brooks, director of communications. Very interesting interview. That's why I wanted to play it during the show and get your thoughts on it, Mike. Just real quick, some things that stood out for me. He must have said ambition several times, talked about the young players in the beginning. Sarah asked him about the style of play, talking about one up front, but like you mentioned, Mike, it was really one and then another player behind the main striker. So first of all, just your thoughts about what Slavica had to share in that interview. What did you get out of it?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm going to say that I've seen reaction to it online, especially, and some of it, I think you can read or listen to his broken English and read it, some of his answers, a couple of different ways. If you're coming to it from a negative point of view towards the club, you can listen to it, and he's saying, I haven't got enough players, I need more signings, I haven't got everyone in place yet. And, telling the club to get their finger out, which is what I've seen some people say. You could take it like that. Would that be fair, Russ?
You mean the reaction?
No, I mean, what do you think he's saying there? Because, I mean, he talks about, most coaches would like to have 80% of their squad in place now. I wasn't able to, or at the start of training, I never had that. And he's right. And, on this show 2 weeks ago, we were worried we'd only signed one player. But in the space of the last 2 weeks, we've signed a number. And he says himself, we're getting closer, but we need more. And I think we're all agreed with that.
Sure.
And he's, so what I'm saying is you can listen to it and read it and take it many ways. But for me, the overall thing was he's an ambitious manager. He hasn't got everyone in that he wants, and he is saying he still wants to sign and bring in more players, and I would agree, even watching the good result that we had yesterday. And he likes the youngsters, but he feels he needs another five players with experience. And again, I've said on this show, I've said online, no matter how good session I don't believe is ready to be an integral part of the team, certainly at the start of this season. So until other guys go, then they need to be replaced by experienced players. So, he's putting a marker in the ground and saying, this is where we are at this moment today. And, my ambition is top six. And
right.
And that's good to hear. That's what you want, isn't it? You want a manager.
Right.
He knows he got a team promoted. He knows what he needs. He hasn't got it yet. He says that. That's why a few of the youngsters are playing. And he's working with the players he's got. But in the space of 2 weeks, he's got half a new team. So who's to say what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks?
Right, Mike. And, it's interesting. Like you said, you can read into what you want. I just read into it. This is just me. You know, I'm a glass half full person. It just came off to me that he's extremely ambitious because he must have said that a half a dozen times. He doesn't have his entire team. He wants more players. I didn't take that as a shot at the club. I just think that he was just being truthful. Listen, we're not there yet. We need more players. That's the way I took it, Mike. I took it as he was trying to share that the job is not done yet with his team yet. And I don't think that it was – I didn't take it in a negative way, Mike. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does, because I didn't take it in a negative way as well. But many have. If you go on – you go and read a few things, that's already been posted. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not – it may well have been a – it certainly wasn't a guarded message to Regan the club, was it? You know, I mean, he's quite blatant. And that's a good thing about you, Canavich.
Yeah.
And I think –
he's honest.
I think, you know, Sarah as well should be commended for, you know, the questions that she's answering. She gets a lot of criticism for some of her interviews that she does, but I actually think, you know, she's got a lot better in the last year in asking, you know, more probing questions and, you know, reacting to the answers as well. With regards to the style, one striker up front, yeah, I mean, you know, it was Woodrow, it was Smith, but then, you know, the other guys were slightly behind, but maybe that's alluding to the fact that, you know, we all think he wants to play 4-3-3 and he still hasn't got quite the right players to do that. And that goes back to the McCormick question then as well, does it?
Sure.
You know, where would he fit in a 4-3-3? So a good interview, and it's, I think, you know, is it the first one he's done? I think it's the first one he's done this pre-season. And, you know, I've said all along, I think he's the right man for the job. I know some people have their doubts. But give him the right tools, as you know, as he's basically saying, and that's the ambition is top six.
Yeah, and honestly, Mike, because when I listen to it, and I understand the reaction, the negative reaction, because you could certainly take that out of it. He's saying, get me more players. But he's also telling you, he's basically telling you that the job is not done with his team yet. Is that a shot at the club? I don't know. I just think that he's being honest and saying, listen, the job is not done. I don't have all the players I need yet. I'm paraphrasing. I'm trying to read into what's going on. I just didn't take it that way. But I do understand how some fans might take it that way. All right, my friend.
Yeah,
let's move on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. Do you have something else you want to add before we move on?
I was just going to say, you know, I found the line, you know, I don't want to be talking to you in January, which is what he was basically saying is we need to do the work now. And
right.
And there's still – and it's, you know, there is still – 6 weeks of the window, 7 weeks of the window open, whatever it is. So plenty of time to almost field a brand new 11 come September compared to last season. It wouldn't surprise me at all if that happened.
Right, and just to get back to McCormack real quick, just a little funny thing, because I tried doing this before the show, but I couldn't get a clip. A supporter actually tweeted to me that I should get a clip, Mike, every time we talk about McCormack of the classes, should I stay or should I go? I'm going to try to make that happen.
Okay. I look forward to that jingle.
All right, my friend. Let's now talk about the match. Before we talk about the first half, I just want your thoughts on the team that started the match, and I'll just go through it real quick. Bettinelli, Adoy, Collis, Ream, Eden, or Adun, I'm not sure how you say that. Maybe you know, Mike, and you can pronounce it better than me. Fredericks, Parker, Christensen, Aite, Woodrow, and Aluko. So when you were at the ground and you saw the team that was starting, what were your thoughts?
Well, I tell you what, I wasn't sure on the formation. You know, I'm used to Teo Eden being like a left-sided full-back winger. And so looking at that lineup, you could have said it was a 3-5-2. You could have even said it was 4-3-3. But when they actually, you know, lined up in a pretty standard 4-4-2 or 4-4-1-1, whatever you want to call it. And Teo was playing in the centre of midfield next to Parker. I was quite surprised. And, you know, Christensen and Aite were on, you know, right and left wings. And Luca and Woodrow up front. So that was interesting for me. But, you know, from the moment they kicked off, you know, we were very much in control, passing the ball around. Movement was a lot better than we've seen, but the stark thing was pace. We suddenly had players who could move and actually get past other players as well, which makes a change. And yeah, there's a couple of wayward crosses, and you know, but the passing overall, Parker was dictating, you know, a lot of the game. My criticism of him would be that while everyone else is running around and you know, looking to pass and move and get the ball, when it comes to Parker, things tended to slow down a bit. But then he did play a couple of quite nice long, you know, crossfield passes. So he played well, but I just feel, I wonder if he's that kind of, you know, the cog that we need in the middle of the pitch. I'm not entirely sure. But no, overall happy with the lineup.
Okay, very good. And you were really starting off the first half observations. And I'm going to mention my friend Marty Ward because Marty mentioned this, and I want to get your thoughts about. Let's start with the injury to Ryan Fredericks, because if I can remember correctly, Marty was tweeting out that the pace of play went down after he had to come off. But I want to get your thoughts on that, and also his injury. How bad was it, Mike? How bad did it look at the time?
Well, first of all, it was good to meet Marty last night for the first time. We've always, you know, sent messages on Twitter, and it's always good to put a face to a name. And well, I mean, Fredericks, he got sort of bundled over or tackled over on the far side, over in the far corner. So I didn't see too much about it, but he was down for a little bit, and of course the alarm bell started ringing. He had treatment, but then eventually went off. And it did slow down a little bit. You know, you had Session on come on and go to left back, and you had Aduo go over to right back. So I think, you know, that little change there upset things a little bit. And then also Christensen and Aiti, they actually swapped wings for about 10 minutes. So there's a little bit of a change in personnel, if not formation. So, you know, it took about 10, 15 minutes to get going again. But, you know, once they did, they were passing it around well. Good link-ups down both wings. There was definitely a look to get the ball wide to the fullbacks for them to overlap. And it was interesting. I saw an interview with Session on today, and he was saying about the midfielder's job is to go, the central midfielder's job is to go and fill in at the right back or left back once they get forward, which is what, you know, midfielders should do. And but, you know, when you're looking at even Session on and Aiti down that left wing, and you've got Eden as well, who's pretty pacey. And then on the other side, Fredericks when he was playing, but also Aluku. And Christensen's no slouch either. And then suddenly you've got attacking options with pace. And you had Woodrow, you know, he works hard, and he was playing that main sort of central role.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, let's now go to the goal by Collie Woodrow. This came off of a corner. By Eden. Eden took the corner, which was very interesting, but there was some build-up play here. Talk about the header from Collie Woodrow. I have actually seen the goal, seen the replay that the team actually put out. Very nice header by Collie Woodrow.
Yeah, it was. It was a good corner as well, wasn't it? It was, you know,
yes,
over on the right-hand side. It was high, but it dropped down in around the six-yard box at the sort of far post, and Woodrow, you know, heads it in past the keeper, and we're one up, and you know, a very good finish from Woodrow, and an excellent corner. And you know, corners, as we know, are the bane of Fulham at both ends, really, the inability to beat the first man or the inability to protect them. But no, you know, it was a good goal, well deserved, and it was you know, we certainly deserved it. In the first half, you had Aluka had a couple of shots, you know, from outside the box. They weren't really troubling too many. He had a free kick as well, which hit the bar, a very good free kick, and we thought the keeper had saved it, but you know, it was given as a, you know, hit in the bar. But you know, there was trying to think of other things, like Aiti, a couple of his crosses were a bit too long, you know, a bit rushed, but he's quite a tricksy player. He was cutting in and out of their fullbacks. But one of the other things, Russ, from the first half, which stood out, because where I was standing, we were sort of in level with the 18-yard line of our own box. And it was interesting watching Ream and Callis play together. And Ream, who's got a lot of criticism on this show, as I said earlier, played really well, I thought. Callis, big man. I'd be surprised to see him play it right back. He was very calm on the ball. But for Ream, his positioning, his heading, I was very happy with. And, you know, it was certainly an improvement on some of the games I saw him play last year.
Okay, very good, Mike. And I'm glad that you mentioned Aluko. I was actually just going to bring that up, the couple of opportunities he had. You've already mentioned several players. Any players stand out to you in the first half besides anyone we've mentioned or even someone that we've mentioned? Anything else stand out to you from the first half?
For me, the standout in the first half, I mean, was Aluko. I thought he was involved a lot, very busy. You know, Woodrow took his goal well. But also, again, Teo Eden. You know, he's not very tall. He's quite slight. He's 18 years old, playing next to Parker. You know, I mean, could be his dad. No, really. And he held his own. He was, you know, very, very tricksy and not really a long ball passer, very much more in the style of, you know, like Heidman would be, very small and short passing to get. But he's looking to pick up the ball, covered the fullbacks when they went missing as well. It was interesting because Sessegnon obviously played slightly, you know, in front of us for about half an hour. And, you know, defensively, I still think he's got a lot to learn. But he covers a lot of ground, you know, very fast. And Aiti, like I say, was busy. But for me, the standout first half was Aluko and then Teo as well.
Okay. Did Aluko come off injured at some point in the second half, Mike? I'm trying to remember because I remember Gentleman Jim. We got the broadcast. I got it later. Got the tweet from the team. Did he take a knock of some kind in the second half?
Yeah, he did. He did in the second half. But then he went back on, and then also I think he got a bash in the nose, and he had to sort of go off, and change shirts as well. But I didn't think it was anything too serious. I mean, he went back on and played okay for a few minutes. So the only injury we saw in the night was Fredericks. Like I say, it wasn't his hamstring or anything like that. It was a proper, you know, foul by Brighton fans, so it wasn't a Fredericks, you know, he can't last a game type injury. It was, it was done by the other player.
Okay, very good, Mike. All right, let's now switch to the second half. And before that, I want to get your thoughts on the substitutions that Fulham made to begin the second half. You had Smith, Tunnicliffe, Kearney, Maddle, and Button come on, replacing Woodrow, Parker, Christensen, Ream, and Bettinelli. What did you think about the substitutions to start the second half?
Well, I saw them all warming up again right in front of us, and I did expect everyone to go on, you know, Stearman as well and Humphreys and Adrian. But in the end, he just opted for the five. I wonder what that says about Stearman and his position in the team, actually not coming on for a full half. But it was good to see Maddo and Kearney come on. And, of course, Button, the new signing, who I will say neither goalkeeper was that troubled. I didn't mention Bettinelli in the first half. There was a period, 5 minutes, where we were trying to be a bit too fancy at the back, and a couple of times he almost got called out, you know, with the ball, trying to be too much of a footballer instead of just getting the ball forward. But, you know, from a corner, we did okay with Bettinelli in goal, and it's good that he's got that sort of competition, as I said earlier. But yeah, no, Button definitely was nice to see, and, you know, chance for these guys to show how pre-season is going for them. But I was glad to see Eden stay on, and also Aitu and Aluko, you know, because you want to see these new guys, what have they got to offer, and Adele as well, who in the first half, once he went over on the right side, didn't really get too involved. So again, a chance to see him at right back for most of the second half.
Okay, very good there, Mike. And Before we get to your second half observations, I want to talk to you a little bit about Brighton Hove Albion because you know you're there and Brighton Hove Albion played some starters in the first half, but they brought on many other starters in the second half. And I got to be honest with you, Mike, I was a little fearful going into the second half with the substitutions Fulham were making compared to the substitutions that Brighton Hove Albion were making. They were making some serious substitutions. Bruno came on, Tomer Hamed came on, many other substitutes. Knockhart came on. So I was a little bit worried. But what's interesting, and we're going to go through the second half, is that Fulham are up 1-0, and I know we got to worry more about the performances. But the fact is, against many of Brighton Hove Albion's top players, Fulham actually increased their lead, getting two goals in the second half. What are your thoughts about how they held up before we go through the intricacies of the second half? The fact that they were playing against many of the starters for Brighton Hove Albion in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it's does anyone want to mention Lewis Dunk?
Oh, that's right.
Does anyone want to pay $6 or $7 million for him like they did a year ago when some of us were saying, no, there's a limit. You don't go over it. No, let's spend it. Just buy him. Well, he was made to look very ordinary yesterday and was very poor. So, Brighton, a bit of a mixed bag, you know, overall. You know, but you say the players come on. I mean, Ross Smith, Tunnicliffe, Kearney, Maddle, Button, you know, potentially half a first team there, you know. So I think it was good both sides sort of doing exactly the same thing, you know, bringing on senior players in the second half. But it didn't really matter because they hardly troubled our goal at all. And we were by far the better team. And I think it goes back to what we all said about Brighton last year is what are they doing up there, really? They're not that great. I mean, they absolutely slaughtered us, yes, at their place towards the end of the season. But, you know, they were a team last year who were winning 1-0, drawing 0-0. And they were right on the edge of being either, you know, good team, which they were getting results, or a bad team. And it looks like, you know, they're going to struggle this year. And speaking to a Brighton fan I know, they're quite worried for the season, not to get relegated, but they don't think they're going to be challenging much.
Okay, very interesting. And, you know, I'm glad that you really talked about them because, again, maybe they were better. You know, they, like you said, they got these results. They got 1-0, like you said, 2-1. And they might not be able to get those results this year, but I also find it, you know, again, encouraging. I know it's – listen, I know it's a friendly, but to play a team that was near the top of the division most of the season and Mike – by all accounts, we were the better team. That has to be encouraging, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's the question is really, you know, we seem to start our pre-season maybe only a day or so earlier than some of the other teams. But, you know, against Preston, apparently, you know, we were by far the better. Well, Brendan said we were by far the better side. And, you know, it's again, we've, you know, beating another championship team. So, you know, come Friday the 5th of August, that, you know, the real challenge begins. But, yeah, but, you know, to be winning these games now is going to put more doubt in those teams' minds than there is in ours.
Exactly.
You know, imagine us losing the game last night 3-0. Blimey, you know, I wouldn't have been able to switch the computer on and look at anything. But, so, it's all good. And I think, you know, they certainly look fitter. And although Jurcanovic says he's, you know, a little bit behind with the players coming in, you know, they're all professionals. They should all be coming back from their holidays, you know, fairly fit and not overweight. So it's just a case of integrating them into some kind of team plan. And hopefully they can do more of that in Portugal this coming week.
Absolutely, Mike. And listen, it's interesting because you know, again, we have a message among the co-hosts, and I'll just mention this. And Kyle Bond, original host and co-host with me of Cottage Talk, you know, he was pretty vocal that you can't get too much out of results in preseason. And I see where he's coming on that. in these friendlies. But I disagree, Mike. For this team, it's about confidence. And you do, I think you do need these results because it's only going to help it. It's the mentality that needs to change. You know, are we going to be able to, you know, to win games like this? Probably not. It's not about that. It's about building confidence that we can beat these teams moving forward, and it needs to start here. So yes, the results ultimately don't mean anything as a victory, but I think that they do mean a great deal, Mike, with building confidence for this upcoming season. Do you agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah, it's all about a feel-good factor, isn't it? It's a feel-good factor
right.
for the players, and it's a feel-good factor for the fans. And, it's better than losing. But what I will say is, you know, 38 years of supporting this club, there's not many pre-seasons I can remember, but it's better to be winning than it is losing. So, and that's what we're doing at the moment. And Palace is going to be a good test. There's no doubt about it.
Yes. Absolutely. Palace will be a very good test going into the Newcastle match. But, Mike, let's now talk about the second half, and let's start here. Let's talk about the goal by Ryan Sessegnon. I've seen the goal. It's actually a very, very great finish by Ryan Sessegnon, but he was set up nicely. Talk about the goal.
Yeah, well, it starts out on the right, doesn't it? It's Odu who passes it to Ken, who then passes it inside to Tunnicliffe, and if you watch it, you see Aluku make a very good run into space. And this is what I was talking about earlier on, about running into space and movement.
Right.
And suddenly you have that. And he turns and there's a freight train going down the left-hand side, a blur of white. And there is a Sessegnon and a perfect ball to him. And he just, you know, blasts it into the net. And you really saw him at full pelt. And, you know, we know he's fast. And we know... But his finish was excellent. So, great, you know, really good goal. And well done to the lad. You know, I mean, in the end, he's playing against, you know, Brighton and most of their first team. And, you know, he wasn't overawed at all. But for me, the main point of the goal, or what I've taken from it, is Aluku. He did it in the first half, a couple of passes to players to set them up or trying to get players in behind, and this is where he surprised me. You know, he's come to us, he's a striker who doesn't score enough goals, and I can probably see why. A couple of scuffed shots he had, but my hope now is, having watched him last night, is he could be, you know, one of those who's going to get more assists than goals.
Right.
And you know, will be useful in the way we play, especially with the pace we got. So that's what you're looking at. Somebody drops, gets the ball, the fullbacks or the wingers run forward and you play that ball in. It was a chance created which was put away. How many times last year did we go to games where we just couldn't put that pass through? And, you know, it was a beautiful goal, beautiful goal.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, let's talk about the Laco. Surprising person who scores the goal, but this is set up nicely for him. Richard Stearman scores the goal. Talk about the late goal that gave Fulham the 3-0 victory in this friendly.
Yeah, well, Stearman came on, I think maybe about 15 minutes to go, and Adeo, he replaced. And Stearman had a couple of sort of rampages down a wing. I think he's a frustrated wing-back in his dreams. But, you know, he found himself in a good position to finish there. But what happened was Del Toro got down the left wing, pulled the ball back. Humphreys was right in the middle, couldn't quite turn the ball and get a shot on. Sort of looked like he'd lost it, but won it back again. And laid it off, I think, to Kearney. And then Kearney, you know, another beautiful weighted ball. And all Stearman had to do was finish it. So two goals from two fullbacks. And, you know, by running into space. And, you know, we're not going to dwell too long on Mr. Jazz going, but, you know, there was a fullback who seemed to get scared to cross the line and, you know, the halfway line. So it was good to see both goals. And it was good to Stearman. Like I say, you know, I was surprised
yep.
he never started the second half. You do have to wonder, you know, what's his position going to be, because, you know, Callis very good. You've got Medel, who ended up playing on the left-hand side of the centre-backs as well. So where do you fit Stearman in? Do you really, as a right-back? I saw him play right-back a number of times last year, and I wouldn't be overly keen on that for many games. So, but a good goal by him.
Okay, very good, Mike. And to end the show, we're gonna talk about several players because I really want your analysis of many players. But I want to talk about players that stood out for you in the second half. I have a feeling this player did, based on what I was listening to with gentleman Jimmy kept saying this player's name. You tweeted about him. So is this the player that really stood out for you in the second half? I'm talking about Dennis Odoi.
Yes, indeed. Like I say, he started at left back, ended up going over on the right back for the first half and wasn't too involved. But the second half, he played quite close to the touchline. A lot of balls were in the air coming at him, but he seemed, his first touch was good, or he somehow found a way to control the ball. And then when he never had it, he was chasing down their fullbacks or wingers. And, a real committed performance. I think I tweeted last night, the commitment from some of the guys last night in a friendly was, they were harassing and, chasing down lost causes. And so, yeah, I see this bloke as being a real fan's favourite. He's going to be the one we're going to come up with a song with. And, he's going to be in that pantsel mode, that fullback who we all like going back to Morris Vaults and others. And, as long as he doesn't go around clapping doing the lap of honour every game. But, yeah, I like him, and fans will like him as well. And he is right-footed, but he does prefer the left, and he looked comfortable on the left. I didn't see any problems with him in that position. I was very impressed by him.
Okay, Mike, and I'm glad that you brought up, we're talking about Dennis Odoi, we're going to talk about him in a little bit as well, the commitment. And I'm just listening to it. You're there, and I've also messaged with Marty. That is one of the things that impressed him, was the overall commitment, like you said, Mike, to really get after. This is just a friendly. They took this seriously. And, that is a good sign moving forward. You mentioned a player that has now left us, Jazz Richards. Well, I'll take Dennis Odoi, going after like the way he did any day of the week. I like players that have that full commitment. Like you mentioned, he wasn't the only one, Mike. Who else really showed you that commitment?
Well, Aluka as well, IET. They're all working hard. Callis as well at the back, going in for some challenges, putting his head in where it hurts. And, you have to see it. And then, one of the sights, I wish I'd got a picture of it, was Teo Uden and Int standing next to each other. Now, that was quite funny. It's a small 18-year-old against Rowan Ince. But, again, he held his own. What was interesting was watching Ince play as well, because we're talking about, we need McDonald or we need some kind of player in that middle. We saw Ince for a number of games last year. There were some games where he looked the business and then others where he was, totally anonymous. And I'm, thinking of the way we're playing, I'm not sure if he's the right man. Some people have been saying, can't we go back for him? I'm not sure I think we need more of a, somebody used the word enforcer to me earlier on. We need someone who can tackle as well, but I think we also need someone who can dictate the game. And I'm not sure Ince is that type of player. He's a, he's a blocker, definitely, but is he going to dictate the game, for example, like Parker helped do in the first half?
Right.
I don't see that myself. So it'd be interesting to see what we do with that midfield role. Tunnicliffe sat in there second half and, played like Tunnicliffe does. If anything, he played within himself. Kearney was a little bit disappointing, although he did, have the pass for the goal. But for me, I keep going back to it. It's these new guys. I've said it on Twitter, I've said it on here. It's all about pace we needed, and we brought that in, and it makes such a difference to the way a team plays. It can't be everything. You can't have a team of 100-meter runners, but it it scares the pants out of defenders, and it's good to see.
Okay, very good. I want to share something else that Marty shared with me, Mike, was that there was a lot of talking. There was a lot of talking amongst the players. They're all on the same page. That is one of the things that impressed him. He also mentioned, I'm curious your thoughts on this, he said that he thought that Tunnicliffe and Kearney both looked bigger. Do they look bigger to you? Like they put on some good weight?
No, not really. I wouldn't say that. I think what you've got to understand is you're much closer to the players in a game like last night. You know, I mean, you're right on the touchline. It's not a massive crowd. It's quite quiet. And, you know, you're hearing players talk and speak, and that's good. You should be. There's nothing worse than watching a team and no one saying anything or even playing in one. But there are a couple of players who seem to have bulked up, and I think it goes back again to what Jurcanović probably wants. He wants strong, you know, physical, fast players in his team, and if you don't match up to that, then you'll probably be out, and that's where Kearney and Tunnicliffe, if they have put on any muscle, is you know, it's probably required. Otherwise, they could find themselves out on their ear. But I'm not a fan of Smith, as you know, but
yep,
he looked heavy. You know, it's quite a contrast seeing him come on and play the second half. And yes, he'll get involved and, you know, he'll win a couple of headers. But it was noticeable he couldn't chase things down like the other guys, and we suddenly looked, you know, one-dimensional again. Humphreys came on and, like I say, was involved in one of the goals as well. And if anything, you know, he for me would be even despite not wanting to push too many youngsters on, he for me would be a better option than Smith at the moment. But
wow.
So he looks like he's put on weight, you know. He was struggling compared to some of the other players. And I know he scored a couple of goals in pre-season, and when you look at them, they are Smith goals. But just compared to the others, it's just not what I want to see.
Okay, very good there, Mike. But you did see the talking, or was Marty making a little bit too much of that?
No. They were definitely doing it. And,
okay.
You know, Jurcanović even, you know, was pulling a couple of players over at times. He spoke to Woodrow quite a bit in the first half. Don't know what instructions he's given or anything like that. But it's you can hear him talking about, you know, moving to space, you know, or even, you know, shouting their name as they go past. And for a team to play that way, it has to be like that. You have to, the player with the ball has to know where everyone is. So, you know, it's good to hear, and long may it continue.
Okay, very good, Mike. All right, we only have, believe it or not, just 6 minutes left. We've flown through the show because there's been a good amount to talk about. Let's try to do this fairly quickly. I just want to get your thoughts on all these players. Let's start with Sonny Aluko. Give me about 30 seconds on each player. So just describe to me Sonny Aluko in this match.
Okay, so he tended to play a little bit off the striker. He was the one who was free to go around and pick the ball up, got involved in a couple of build-ups. Had a nice free kick first half and a couple of, you know, daisy cutter shots. But I was impressed by him, and I think, you know, with a little bit more fitness, we'll see a bit more pace from him. I don't think he's going to score a mass of goals, but he's a useful signing as long as he can stay fit.
Okay, very good about Sonny Aluko. Let's move on to another new player, Floyd Ayite.
Well, yeah, he played most of the game on the left. He did swap over to the right for about 10, 15 minutes with Christensen. Couple of wayward crosses, but you can't knock his determination and work rate. Linked up well with Session on at times, and you know, showed a few tricks. Turned their right back inside out a couple of times, and got a shot away. So, good to see an old-fashioned winger in a way. And, you know, I'm hoping that once he gets onto the bigger pitch at Craven Cottage, although David will say it's not that big, we will see him get down the wing and get some crosses in, or he cut inside and get a shot. He looks quite useful with both feet.
Okay, very good. Let's go back and talk just quickly about Dennis Odoi.
Well, yeah, as I say, he will be a fan's favorite and can play left back or right back. And it will be interesting to see, you know, what position he starts the season in. I still have doubts over Fredericks in a back four as a right back. But I'm quite comfortable, having seen him play, you know, even 15 minutes at left back, that those worried about him being a right-footed player shouldn't do, because he looked fine. And second half, he got some good crosses in. So if we've not technically swapped him for Jazz, but if he is the player to replace him in the squad, then it's a definite upgrade.
Okay, very good. This is a player I really want your thoughts on, not too long because we're running short of time, but Thomas Kalas.
Okay, it's difficult to judge the centre-backs or any, you know, many of the defenders, because they weren't that tested much, but what he had to do, he did well. Had a couple of little runs as well into midfield, looks very comfortable on the ball. His passing looks sound, and linked up well both with Madel and Ream. So for me, already, you know, only on that appearance yesterday, he looks like a proper centre back as well, and very impressed. So it's him plus whoever else at centre back for me at the moment.
Okay, very good. All right, Mike, let's end talking about two youngsters, Ryan Sessegnon and Teo Eden. Want your thoughts about that? We got about 2.5 minutes left, so if we could just share, you know, about a minute on both of them, that'd be great.
Okay, well, you know, I've already said about Ryan, it's, you know, he's got that pace, and he didn't look overawed and did some useful stuff, but he did get turned inside out second half, especially over on the far side by the Brighton winger. And I think we need to see what he can do as a proper left back. You know, in the end, that's his job, is defending. And I think it's too early for him to, you know, talk about him playing league games and whatever. But I think for his progression, he's probably going to miss out the under-18 team and go straight into the under-21s, where he will play against, you know, bigger lads and more experienced ones. And who knows, you know, maybe a cup game here or there, you know, against Orient, probably, you know. But he's, you know, he's 16 last May. You know, he's
right.
A young lad.
No, I hear
but
you.
But I know
Mike.
What the worry is, Russ. Sorry, very briefly. I know what the worry is there, and I've seen it already. He needs a contract. Can we get him on a contract? You're going to have to wait until next May when he turns 17, and then we can give him a 3-year one. Until then,
okay,
he's a scholar, and we just have to get on with it.
Okay, very good there, Mike. I'm glad that you ended with that. But real quick on Teo Eden, you sounded impressed. Give me about 10, 15 seconds on him.
Yeah, did really well. Surprised to see him play in that position. But, you know, he plays for England as well, you know, in the younger teams, and they rate him highly. So would have been good experience for him. But I'll be surprised if we see much more of him in the first team anyway, at the moment.
Okay. Very good, Mike. Listen, excellent show. You were fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this with me, my friend. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Russ. And, you know, let's hope while they're out in Portugal, they can get some more players in. And when they interview Kanovic soon, he'll say, I've got 100% the squad I want.
Well, that's what we want. That's what we want. And, hey, who knows? Maybe the next show I'll have a little audio clip of should I stay or should I go by the Clash. Who knows? Maybe. All right, but it's time to wrap up the show. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Connors Talk. Have a good night, Mike.
Cheers, Russ.
Cheers. Boys.